What's up? Welcome to episode 346 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
Hey, Masai.
Hello.
And this is the final weekend of the PlayStation
podcast
deals.
Podcast ever.
Yeah, podcast. The final weekend of the podcast. Now, the PlayStation deals end on the 16th. So we have, let's see when that sounds like it's going to be, yeah, Thursday. Interesting day to end. For some reason, I thought they had it on the 13th, but they must have extended Thursday. But yeah, it's the final week of the PlayStation sales, up to 67% off. A lot of good deals. Remember, jump on those. Like Resident Evil 2 is $20. Get Resident Evil 2 if you haven't got it yet. That's a fantastic deal. And there's a bunch of other stuff on there too. And then, of course, the PlayStation Plus. Now, that one ends on the 12th, which is tomorrow. So by the time you hear this podcast, it's already done. So I need to jump on that because I need to... My thing renews in February. My Nintendo subscription also ends in February, but I don't know if I want to renew my Nintendo stuff. I mean, that's only $29, right? $30 for Nintendo Online.
We upgraded to the family one.
I think it's
just
$30.
Be part of her family.
How many members is the family?
I think you can have like 8, and it's just Michael and I on the account.
How much is that a year?
It's like 34, I think. I don't know exactly, because when you upgrade from a regular, like an individual plan, up to a family plan, it gives you a credit for the amount of months that you still have. So mine was a little bit cheaper than it's actually going to be, but mine is going to renew in December or something like that. Like December or something, because we got it for Michael's account so that he could do Pokemon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just upgraded my account, and then we might, because I had the free one from Prime, the free Switch Online year, so I got a credit for the remaining months of that, and then we'll probably add his brother on there, because his brother has a free year too. But I think you can have like 8 people on the same family plan.
I was totally kidding, but now you should absolutely do it.
Yeah. There's no like weird, you know, limitations kind of thing.
I mean, okay. You're forever going to be indebted and bonded to Zaya, but other than that,
well, not forever, I can change your parental controls.
Oh shit! from your Switch to my Switch.
Yeah, because what you have to add people to like your family group, okay, or whatever with the actual Nintendo accounts. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm the admin of the account. I added Michael to my account, and then I made him, like, a parent or admin or whatever.
That would honestly be really fucking funny. JCM could play.
Yeah, if, like, we were, like if we play games online or something, and, like, I just, like, you know, killed Zai a bunch. It's like, you know what? That's it. You know what? No Switch for you. You can't.
You know what? Parental
now.
Controls. You're not going to get to play Doom.
That's right. I'm like, well, I was going to play on PS4 anyway. Huh? I mean, yeah, go to your room. No. Uh-huh. But yeah, I don't know if I'll redo or renew the Switch one. I might. I haven't played. I'm curious if the levels for Mario Maker 2 that you download to play offline, if those are still accessible without the online account.
Oh. Hmm.
But or if they're like tied to that license, you know, that like an online license or something.
Yeah, like the way the PS Plus locks you out of the free games or whatever.
They need to stop doing that.
I thought PS Plus stopped doing...
No, you're 100% still locked out.
Okay,
because I can't access my...
Xbox.
Because I can't access my digital copy of Bloodborne. I have to use the disc.
Huh. Yeah. Xbox stopped doing that for games with gold. You get them for good now, but PS Plus still does it, and they need to stop because...
Oh, that's right. It's just the discount ones. You obviously don't get those don't go back. Yeah, I've just never not had Plus, so I never noticed, but...
Well, it locks you out if you're not online, too, so I had a problem a lot. Like, I would load up and want to play Bloodborne, and I'd go to open it, but it wasn't like fully connected to the internet yet, so I have to wait for it to connect and like check the license, and then I can load the game.
Were you not the primary console?
No, I'm the primary console, but it's because I was using the free PlayStation Plus version of the download.
Weird. So the
and it wasn't online. So if you're not online, you still can't do it. But I did have a weird thing where when I was setting up the Pro, for some reason it said online that it was the primary console, but it still had it didn't say it on my actual PlayStation or something like that. So I don't know if it's doing some kind of like verify process or something. Yeah, but I know there was always a delay. Like as soon as I started up my console, it would be locked, and then like a few seconds later it would unlock and then I could load into the game.
I wonder if it's like it's loading, like it's on the system, but it's pinging somewhere else within the drive to be like, oh, this is the primary console. Because I know you can play on all your games offline that are downloaded just regularly, but I've never tried it with like a PlayStation Plus game while I was offline.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with my digital copy of Bloodborne is I downloaded it when it was free PlayStation Plus.
Well, that, so yeah.
I have the disc version and I have the digital copy.
I just mean if I was to let my subscription lapse, but if I was just like disconnect my PS4 right now from the internet and then try to play one of my PlayStation Plus downloads, like the Nathan Drake collection, like I have it on disc, but the download, if I download it to my system, disconnect from the internet and see if the Plus version has a different permission versus other games that I can download, I can play offline off the PSN. But yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, hopefully everybody jumped on that, because I know Amazon's also doing a deal, basically the same price, which is really annoying because there was an article. It's like, oh, jump on, you can get PlayStation Plus for a discount price, blah, 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 it's $44.99. I'm like, or like $44.94, because Amazon always does like 6 cents or whatever. And I'm like, you guys, this has been a deal on the PSN for like since the Game Awards. I don't understand why. It's like when I think it was like GTA 5 came to Xbox Game Pass, and I was like, oh, it's on there, you know, Xbox Game Pass got GTA 5, that's a really good get. It's like, but it came to PlayStation Now like 2 months previous, but no one talked about it.
Just nobody plays it on PlayStation.
And it's just someone brought it up on a podcast, like, you know, it's on there. It's just no one pays attention to the, because when PlayStation, they add games to PlayStation. Whoa, that was weird. Sorry, my headset cut out and I couldn't hear myself for a second. I was like, wait a minute, what just happened? But like when PlayStation does games to PlayStation Now, they add like a ton of games at once. It's like, you know, here, just add like 50 games. And I doubt anybody's actually going through and seeing what's there. But yeah. Anyways, no big new releases. Again, it's kind of the beginning of the year, so we're kind of waiting for you know, everything come out. Things have gone gold. Dreams went gold. So we got that. There's, of course, the demo leaked for Final Fantasy, but it's not out yet. There's also supposed to be a demo leaked for Patapon 2, which we haven't heard about since, like, PSX 2 years ago. Maybe 2.5. I don't know. It's been a long time. But yeah, we can go ahead and jump to the news. So the announcements for the DICE Awards came out, and the only reason I'm bringing this up, because kind of what you expect, you know, Death Stranding and Control, Outer Wilds and Untitled Goose Game got a bunch of nominations. They were nominated recently for GDC Game of the Year Award, and Untitled Goose Game is also up for top prize at the Independent Games Festival Awards. But there's a full list from the DICE Awards. And, of course, DICE is by developers. It's on February 13th. So there's a lot more, like, technical stuff that they kind of really look at. Right? I feel like things like animation, technical teams, like, that is way more... Because Death Stranding got, like, 9 nominations. Eight or nine. And then, let's see. Where's the one? So Outstanding Achievement in Character is the award. The nominations are Jesse Faden from Control, Cliff Unger from Death Stranding, Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding, Grease from Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and The Goose from Untitled Goose Game.
Goose is
he deserves win. That. He deserves it.
It's so ridiculous. I'm like, I feel like it's like the memes carried it way past. Like, who is that guy that, like... I don't think it was like America's Got Talent, but something. Who is that guy that he was that singer. He was like really bad, but then like everybody voted for him because they just liked the guy. And I forget, like he got like super far. That was like years ago, but it was.
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He even came out with an album, I think, after he lost.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it just feels like, not that, you know, in this case, Untitled Goose Game is some sort of bad game. You know, it's a good game, obviously. But it's just like outstanding achievement and character. And it's like,
I love that a goose is nominated for the same category as Mads Mikkelsen.
Right. It's just, it's so, so silly. But yeah, the only one that's, it's, Death Stranding doesn't have an outstanding achievement in story nomination. It's, those are Control, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, Telling Lies, and The Outer Worlds. I don't know about The Outer Worlds being an outstanding achievement in story.
Not more than Death Stranding, I don't think.
Was Outer Wilds on there?
Outer Wilds is on there.
Okay, I was going to say Outer Wilds should definitely be there. Outer Worlds...
I mean, it's a good story, but...
Yeah, nothing... Not like...
There's a difference between good and like a game that has such an important story that it changes gaming after it.
Yeah. It's
and
just...
a few of those games on that list got good enough reviews that they will change how people talk about it, or there'll be games that people reference. Like Outer Wilds, I think people will reference in terms of like adventure games for a while to come.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. Like I said, February 13th is the date for the 23rd annual Dice Awards. You can check that out. This week we also saw Respawn tease an upcoming grand soiree event for Apex Legends, where they're kind of doing this Fortnite thing that they did a while ago, where there's going to be these rotating LTMs. Like for every two days, there's like a new LTM. There's like a Gold Rush Duos mode, where basically like everything you pick up is gold. Fortnite, this is something Fortnite's done a ton, where it's called like, you know, I think it's just called all gold, and it's like every weapon's like the best. All the items are all gold tier. There's a Never Stop Closing, there's a Dummies Big Day, and a couple other ones. They have a trailer for it, and of course there's going to be some new skins. I definitely want to check that out because it looks really cool, especially because the LTMs are only for 2 days each. But that'll be starting on the 14th. You can go ahead and watch the trailer for that. Let's see. We also, Sony revealed the top downloaded games for 2019. On the PSN, of course, and let's see, look at that list real fast. So the number one was Call of Duty Modern Warfare, then Minecraft, NBA 2K19, GTA 5, of course, NBA 2K20, so it's funny that 19 is outselling 2K20, but Rainbow Six Siege is number six, Madden NFL 20, Star Wars Battlefront 2 at number eight, Tom Clancy's The Division 2 at 9, and Days Gone at 10. And, of course, they went down to 20, but I'm not going to go through them all. Marvel Spider-Man was the 20th most downloaded game. But, yeah, it's interesting Star Wars Battlefront 2 get up there, because I know that's been... Because when Rise of Skywalker came out, they had a bunch of updates go to that game, and apparently the game's, like, way better now. And I saw a bunch of people playing it recently, and it's discounted in the sale. I almost thought for a moment, like, maybe to try it because it's so cheap. And I played the beta when it first came out, and it's like, of course, that's the game where, unlike Battlefield, you can go into third person if you want. And it's a little more arcadey. It's obviously not as sim, like, not necessarily that Battlefield 1 is sim, but there's, like, there's bullet drop, there's velocity, there's, you know, muzzle kick, there's everything you got to deal with in Battlefield. But that's not there, of course, in Star Wars. But yeah, don't see Control on there. So I don't like that was really down a whole lot. And of course, the top VR game is going to be Beat Saber, and then followed by Superhot. Skyrim VR is number three. That's interesting.
Skyrim VR has been getting some actual pretty good reviews and feedback on it, so I'm actually not surprised.
The top 10 downloaded DLC/expansions are all
Fortnite
related.
Yeah.
It's the it, like
oh, that's such a sad statement on like producing content and what actually sells. And I mean, I know we know that add-ons and things don't sell as well as like skins and stuff and free-to-play model games and like loot boxes, but holy shit, that's just a sad statement because there's been some really good DLC this year, and that just means it pretty much got ignored.
But there's not been that much like this year versus previous years of this generation. And then if also if you think about Fortnite pulled in like $1.6 billion or something like that this year.
No, but that's my point is like Fortnite will win always, and you have people that are making like phenomenal DLC and really trying, and then Fortnite is just going to win.
Right, but you gotta look at it as the curve. Because you figure Fortnite's the most, you know, the most popular game, so that's obviously like number 11 could be a DLC that, you know, if we were to go down and skip all the Fortnite add-ons and just go straight to like the first actual DLC, it could have extremely good numbers. You know what I mean? Like it could be a couple million units. Whereas Fortnite has a much bigger player base than any other game out there. So because it's free, you know, and these packs are a little cheap. So, you know, kids and everybody are going to get, you know, jump on those packs. Like, oh, I want to get these because like they're $10. And they also give you in-game currency, not just the skins. So it's like basically you're just buying currency, and these currency happen to come with, you know, the Batman Cape Crusader pack, you know, this and that. You know, I think the Star Wars, none of the Star Wars ones are there, but it's just you're buying skins and currency. So if you were to take that out, like I'm sure the stuff that didn't make it probably did well. Like we obviously don't see these numbers, but I'd imagine.
Sad is all.
I think because of the inflation of just the Fortnite player base in general is obfuscating these stuff that probably did sell well. We just don't see it because these outpace by so much. Probably more so than the actual games that the DLCs that are would be on the list probably sold anyways. But let's see. There was also an update to Doom 1 and 2. This is, of course, the combo that Bethesda released. They patched it on, it was the re-releases for Doom 2 on January 9th across all platforms for this update that adds 60 FPS quick saves and a couple other things. So if you, you know, want to are playing that pack with Doom 1 and Doom 2, you got these updates to do it 60 FPS and quick save. So I'm curious how that's doing. I don't remember seeing that spotlit on the PlayStation Store, but yeah, I don't know. I wonder. I wish it didn't say when the game actually came out. It must have been a while ago because I know it was on like everything. It was on iOS, Android, Switch. I think it might have been actually a couple months ago. But there you go. Well, said he teased from WB Montreal, which everybody thinks is going to be Batman related. Court of Owls. You know, I don't know enough of the Batman comics lore to go into it, but you can listen to every other podcast basically speculate about it. So there's that. Then we also had there's an interview with Jim Ryan, of course the you know SIE president CEO, talking about PlayStation 5, and he just mentioned a couple things like talking differences between this console and other stuff, player engagement, yada yada. It's just a big, I think it was post CES or during CES that you can read up on it, but nothing crazy stands out. But there's just anytime there's an interview where someone references, you know, the next gen and talking about things that aren't, especially things that aren't announced for the PS5 yet. They've said they've kept some stuff under wraps in the meantime.
Can so I I'm just curious. Say I love the PS5 logo announcement trailer because it was like, of course the PS5's logo is going to be that. Why did you ever think it would be anything else?
Yeah, like Boss Logic put up a throwback PS5 logo to make it look like the original PlayStation logo. It was really cool. I thought that was pretty dope. Where like the 5 is the shadow of the S You also made like a dark mode version of it where the five glows. Mm. That was really cool. Man, we'll see what happens there. What else was there? I think that was it for the news. Yeah, that's basically all there was. Nothing else major. So yeah, let's just go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. Have you been, I know, Zai, you just started downloading, what was it?
More Animal Crossing?
No, it's on Twitter. something about music.
Oh, Stepmania.
Oh, Stepmania.
Yeah, because there was a... What? You don't know what Stepmania is?
No.
It's like a PC version of DDR.
Like with your fingers?
Yeah. I mean, you could hook a pad up to the computer and play it too, but it's like a crowdsource thing, so people can make their own songs and step maps and everything for it.
That's cool.
Yeah, because they did a Clone Hero, which is the PC version of like Guitar Hero. They did a showcase on GDQ, and it looked really fun, and I was like, I want to play Stepmania again.
Are you going to get the mat so that you can actually dance and do it?
No, because I live in an upstairs apartment. So can't
Courtney, what you dancing up there? That's funny. So, aside from that, though, have you been playing just more or anything else? Or
not really, just playing more Pokemon. They did an update after the Pokemon Direct where they added some new raids and stuff, and they kind of tweaked things a little bit, so we've just been kind of doing that, doing the new raids, trying to get the new stuff.
Yeah. Has Michael been playing anything new, or is he kind of playing Pokemon with you as well?
Pokemon, pretty much. He plays Pokemon in Stardew Valley.
Oh, that's right, because you guys are playing Stardew with his brother.
Yeah, so we have a farm that we all just kind of drop in and drop out on and play and stuff like that when we were redecorating, and he's getting like the greenhouse set up so they make stuff, and then I just kind of take care of my animals and do that.
There you go. What about you, Isley?
Well, I beat Bioshock 1, which I think I had beaten by last game, or last podcast, and I have now beat Bioshock 2. And after beating Bioshock 2 and getting the Platinum, I'm still not sure if I've ever played this game before, because Bioshock 2 is like one of the least memorable games I think I've ever played in my life. And I got to the end of Bioshock 2, finished everything. I still don't really understand the point of the story, other than you're a big daddy trying to recover his sister. And I don't know if I've played it before yet. Like, I really can't remember. And the final boss is, well, there's not even a final boss in Bioshock 2. It's just not a very memorable game.
Did you do the DLC?
I have to do the DLC still, unfortunately.
because I think it's the best part.
That's not saying much. That's what I'm worried about. I have heard the DLC is okay, but I know that one of the DLC is basically like challenge trials, which in general aren't really something that I love as DLC. I typically prefer like story DLC. I don't love the whole, you know, beat it this fast, beat it with this score kind of thing, because it just seems simple and repetitive without a whole lot of work put into it. And I don't mean for Bioshock specifically, just in general.
Sorry, yeah, isn't Minerva's Den the good one?
Minerva's Den is the time trial one. Or not the time trial one, the high score one.
I thought that's... Because that's what we were talking about, like Minerva's Den was...
Yeah, well, that's the one everyone loves. So I'm hoping that there's more to it. But maybe it's just like a well-made high score.
No, it's definitely story-related.
Is it like a story DLC that has a time or high score thing attached to it?
I mean, I've done two of them already. They put you in an arena, and you have to protect your sister. That's Protector's Trials. No, Minerva's... Okay, so Minerva's Den isn't the one I've played. I've played Protector's Trials so far.
Yeah, this says the subject Sigma is guided by the voice of Charles Milton Porter as he approaches Minerva's den, Rapture's central computer core.
Okay, so I'm playing Protector's Trials right now, which is the high score one. And look, it's bad enough that I can't even keep straight the titles of the DLC.
Yeah, don't play them. Just do Minerva's Den.
Well, I want the fucking 100% because I'm...
You got a problem.
Yeah, I know. You're not telling me anything I don't know.
You're like, I know I'm a trophy whore. I know. Gotta get it done.
It doesn't change it for me, though.
Well, at least you know once you finish the crap one, you get the good one.
Yeah, so I'm doing the crap one right now, and I'm going to try to take it slow so that I don't burn myself out, because I can totally see myself getting burnt out on how crappy it is. Other than that, though, like I'm kind of just trying to cruise through the Bioshocks because Infinite is the one I want to play, but I hadn't played 1 and 2 in so long that I just wanted to try it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get through it. You'll make it. Maybe.
You can do it.
We believe in you.
You know, Zaya at least sounded like she meant it. You don't even sound like you're trying.
Nope. Not really. I know. You'll get there.
You'll get there because I know you will torture yourself until you get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played a little bit more DMC5. I'm not playing through it as quickly as I do like most games. Like I'll play a little bit of it and I'll stop and I'll play some, because I'm playing a lot of Oxygen Not Included. But I just got the third, I guess technically the fourth, but only the third because it takes up the third weapon slot for Dante. So I'm not like crazy far. I don't know how many chapters there are in the game. But like I'm finally far enough that now things make a little more sense. I feel like they didn't necessarily need to not jump back in time and explain things as late as they did. Mm-hmm. I feel like you could have done this a little earlier on, but because typically when you start in media res, like chapter 2 is where you go back and, you know, figure out what's up, or
figure you go far what's enough. Up.
Well, yeah, because typically it's like, you know, you know you start in media res and you go back, and in the case of like Uncharted 2 or 4, you go back far enough that you're leading up. You don't have to start like, because it's like this game, it starts and then it jumps ahead a month. And it's not like you do that in the Uncharted games. Like they start in media res and then you go into the past and build up to that point. Like it's like, that's fine. You know, I like that method more because you're like, okay, how did we get here? Okay, let's see how we got here. But this is like, you jump a month. And then you keep it, for some reason it keeps telling you like, yo, 30 minutes has gone by. I'm like, why does this matter? And then you finally get to like, it gets midnight at one point. It's like, ooh, it's midnight. Now the big bad's like, oh, what's up? And he ascends the tree. And I'm like, it really, was that necessary? Like, do you have to tell me the time every single moment a chapter starts?
Yeah, like, yeah, they do.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so self-aware. It's
like, I feel like there are games in the past that have done that well. However, the way you're describing it sounds awful.
Yeah, it's because it's every single mission. Like, you finish one, and you know, it's like, okay, start the next mission, and it's like, the time rolls by, and it's been like 15 minutes. I'm like, Or it's because, like, you play one mission as Nero, and then you go back, and you replay that same, not the same mission, but, like, concurrent mission as V, so it rolls back the clock to show like, oh, this is right before that, and it's like, and you can see Nero in the background, just like you can see V in the background when you play as Nero. But it's just like, do we really have to just keep doing this? Like, do it once, like tell me what date it is, and then tell me like it's a month later, and then go back to like a month and a half when, you know, before the, you know, in media res moment to kind of explain what's going on. But
is it meant to be a joke or is it meant to be serious?
Well, I mean, it's not like it's a super serious story.
It's but like, isn't the entire game pretty set, like satirical? That's what I'm saying. Like, is the whole time thing meant to be?
It doesn't feel like, haha, get it, guys? We're showing, like, it's not like when big ass subtitles show up on the screen in a movie to tell you like Los Angeles, like as a joke in a comedy thing, because that's what like because like Marvel movies are so bad with fucking big ass subtitles for
movies. I mean, it's meant to be a little tongue in cheek about it, where it's like, oh, our story's so convoluted that we have to show you the exact time that you're doing this. I stopped paying attention to it because I couldn't keep track of it. I was just like, whatever, things are just happening. It doesn't even matter. But it's just kind of like, it's pushing the agenda of like there's so much happening in such a short time frame that it just keeps jumping back and forth, and after a while you're like, okay, yeah, I get it, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's like
it's just like it's a little tongue-in-cheek about it.
It's just, I don't care, 50 minutes, this isn't 24. You don't have to I'm not Jack Bauer trying to stop a demon. It's like, it's just, come on guys, just slow your roll. And I hate that you can't pause cutscenes, it skips them. Oh, that's obnoxious.
Yeah.
I finally figured out you can skip putting the Nidhogg parasite things into the vaginas or whatever they are.
Like, sorry, what?
It's like basically putting a key to unlock a door. But like it's this animation. I didn't realize I could skip it because like the first time it does, I'm like, oh, it's just going to show it doing one time. But then it does it every time. And I found out, oh, if I hit options, it'll skip this. But
putting the Nidhogg thing into the vagina thing. What? Yeah.
It's not an actual vagina, Isley. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, it's just, I'm putting a key into a door. But there's this, it's like if someone put a fucking key in a door into your house, but when they did it, they did some crazy animation that you had to sit there and watch them do.
You're putting like a parasite into like a root or whatever, and yeah, it destroys the root and stuff like that. So it goes through this whole animation of the parasites like going through and eating it and destroying it, but it does it every single time you do it.
It's like, I thought like maybe I could skip picking up the fucking orb shards. I'm like, no, I can't. I still have to sit through that bullshit. But yeah, I mean, I like the combat's fine. I'm only playing on normal just because I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to play this. Like, I just kind of want to just,
you know, play it for fun.
Play it just for fun. Yeah, just relax. Play it as a relaxing game. Just got that heavy DMC theme music playing during the combat and just tearing stuff up.
Yeah, you can kind of like zone out a little bit and then just enjoy the animations.
Right. And then put on auto and watch Dante go insane. I'm like, what is happening? Gunslinger, trickster, royal guard.
I love putting Dante on auto and just pushing buttons. It's so fun watching him go through all the shit.
Yeah, it's out of control. Like, the one thing I don't get, it kind of annoys me, is they don't show you the, like, in the DMC where they introduced Trickster and, Gunsmith and Royal Guard and all that stuff, they would tell you, when you're in these modes, these are the special moves. They tell you what they are within, you know, when you upgrade the abilities, like, upgrade Trickster and you get this. But you can't see what that move is. So unless, like, you know, you just start experimenting with, because obviously the one thing that changes, Circle's the big one. Because like Trickster, that's dodge. In Gunsmith, it's like a big shot attack. And then in Royal Guard, it's a block. But I wish like I could go into the void and they could I could see what they are. Like, tell me, like, oh, each one of these has a different this. This is what those moves are. Every time you unlock the next one. Because it does it for all the other stuff, just not the style changes. Because then I'm like, well, I'm just going to stay on Swordmaster because that's what I did in the previous game that had it, is just stayed on Swordmaster. But yeah, I'm like, just let me see what all the special moves are.
But I think because it doesn't matter for like getting through the game, it only matters if you're going for like the triple S rank on each of the missions or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you want to know like what everything does and when to switch to everything and stuff like that. But for like, it's just a lot of information if you don't care, if you're just trying to get through the game.
Yeah. It's yeah, I guess that's all it is. It's just there for style points. But
yeah, that's pretty much what it's there for. There's only like, if you're playing on normal mode, there's nothing really that you would like, oh, well, you have to have this particular move to avoid this particular attack or anything like that. It's just giving you a bigger arsenal to be cooler looking, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm, aside from those small things, I am enjoying it. And then I'm still playing like I said, Oxygen Not Included, which is a great game. And I've talked before, it could easily be on PlayStation, but it's indie dev, so it's not going to be, just like RimWorld's not going to be on PlayStation, even though Prison Architect is. But yeah, I really like Oxygen Not Included. I like the art style for the duplicates of the people and the side-scrolling, you know, alien ant farm gameplay, and Are You Okay? It's just a lot of fun. There's also, it's a game that's like easy to learn, difficult to master, because there's this whole like thermodynamics aspect to it that is just crazy. Like, I was watching these videos and I'm like, well, what's the best way to cool your base? Like, my base isn't hot yet, but it's going to get there eventually. And like, oh, and you see these machines that people set up. It's like watching someone create a calculator in Minecraft. I'm like, what is going on? Like, oh, well, all these, the developer just put these tools in the game to where you can do this and you can manipulate the heat distribution of areas and all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, man, there's a lot in here. Like, I'm only on like cycle 44 technically, which, you know, it's like just 44 days within game. And I'm like, it's not that far. And a lot of these videos I see, it's people like 100, 200, some people like 500. And I think you don't necessarily have to go that long. I think people just like to play to see how self-sufficient they can get their base without needing to, like how automated they can get things going with the duplicates and the machines to not necessarily have to micromanage everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm still like only within the starting area. I haven't explored any of the biomes around me really, just because some of them are pretty hot and I don't have exosuits, which let you go into these hazardous environments without having to worry about it. Like, I need the materials first to do it, but I have to explore like this one biome that's got a lot of germs in it. But I was like, well, how do I deal with this biome? It's like, oh, yeah, just do this. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? But but yeah, it's a really fun game. I like it a lot. The one thing I had noted that I forgot to talk about last week, at least I think it was announced last week before the podcast, and I missed it, but Elgato announced a new capture card or capture device where it doesn't require a PC at all. So it's like kind of like how the AverMedia, I forget what their things are, it's like that triangle, Toblerone kind of capture device.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like that, but it does 4K, 60 HDR pass through. It also does 1080 at 144, I believe. And then it just has a card in it. So you just plug it in. They kind of designed it more for like, you know, on the go. You're going to, you know, E3, you want to capture some footage, just hook it up, capture. Or you're, you know, going to like some eSport event and you want to capture your gameplay, capture it, put it on the card, take the card, put that in your PC to edit it. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, that's really cool. But it also, I realized that it works well for people who don't have, like, because I had the regular Elgato back in the day, and then I had the HD60, and now I have the HD60S, I think it's S Plus. It's the one that does 4K and also has HDR pass-through as well. But you have to have it hooked up to your PC, and not everybody has the same setup I do, where my computer's near my TV. So if you were someone who has like a dedicated computer space, or the desk in your living room with your computer is too far from your TV to where you can't reach with the cable from the Elgato to your computer, because it does, you know, USB 3.0, and I'm sure you don't want to get like a 20-foot USB cable.
Mm-hmm.
You can just capture whatever footage you want on the Elgato, it saves it to the disk, or, you know, the drive, the flash. Oh my God. SanDisk, there we go. Disk was fine. And just take that. Yeah, and then put that into your computer and do editing there. So it's really cool, because I this one thing I also never considered was just the fact that, you know, people don't set up their living rooms the same way, or, you know, they mm-hmm. like to have separated PC from, you know, couch gaming. So yeah, pretty dope. I saw a nice little package. Like I said, it's because it just does everything on its own. You don't even need like a good high-end PC necessarily. Now, you can still use it to stream and do all that on your PC if you want, and all that functionality is going to be in there. So that way you don't necessarily need a high-end computer in order to do that kind of streaming. It'll just do it through the Elgato. But I also had noted how we talked about this in Discord because I forgot to talk about it last week, but I hate that the PS4 app doesn't remember or display your timeline progress on a YouTube video if it's in a playlist. Like, if I have a playlist, say, from a YouTuber who was doing, like, I watched his Subnautica stuff when I played Subnautica, and now that I'm playing Auction Unincluded, I'll watch his Auction Unincluded. I'm rewatching the RimWorld series he did that I only watched the first part of it, I didn't watch the second, like when he did a New Colony. So I'm watching that stuff, and it's like, if that was in my watch later or my history, I can see it. It'll show like, oh, this is how far you've progressed, yada, yada. But when I go within the playlist on the PS4 app, it doesn't show that. So it's like I have to go, okay, you know, I'm not paying attention when it's auto-playing in the background. Like I'm playing a game while I'm listening and watching this guy play. When it goes to a new video every half hour, I'm not going like, what number are we on? You know, I don't look at it when I don't write it down and take a note. Like, oh, last night I ended on episode 8 at, you know, whatever. Because it remembers the time. So if I click on it, like, it starts immediately where I left off.
But you have to guess the right video.
Right. So then I have to go on my computer and look like, okay, let's look in that playlist on YouTube. And I could see it there and go, okay, I ended on episode 6. And it just picks up from 6. But that's the other thing the YouTube is great, or pretty good about, like, if I'm doing my workouts, I'll watch YouTube on my iPad. Now, if I end a video on YouTube, or like I make some progress, usually it's really good from the iPad, at least, if I stop, close the app, and then I was to pick up that video again on my PS4 or on my computer to pick up where I left off. Sometimes on rare occasions, I don't know if it's like, oh, you closed the app too fast for it to sync up with your YouTube history online, to where it'll like, it won't catch like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's not too often that happens. Usually what I'll do is I'll try to like pause the video instead of just, you know, double tapping the iPad's home button and swiping up. I'll pause the video, minimize it, close it within the app, then close the app. And typically that yields better results. The Twitch app now, that one is annoying because on the computer, I can see this is where I left off. You can also see that when I'm browsing, you know, people's VODs on the Twitch app on the PS4. It tells me this is where you were. Now, sometimes, especially it's because of the ads. It's the ads that ruin it, where I'll watch something on my computer or I'm watching the Twitch VOD on the iPad because I'm caught up on YouTube or whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go watch this stuff. Because he puts his VODs from Twitch on YouTube, but they're usually delayed. Or some don't even get posted because of YouTube music copyrights. So he just leaves them only on Twitch. So I have to watch him there. And it'll remember the time. Like, okay, this is like a 4-hour video. And I'm an hour and 52 minutes in. And I stop. And I go on the PS4. And it has the progress bar. Because it syncs, you know, it syncs just like YouTube. Shows me where it is. But I click on it and it starts immediately. An hour and 52 minutes. But then the ad pops up. And then after the ad ends, resets the video.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, fucking PS4 app. Come on. And then when it does that, I think, I haven't actually checked it, that it also resets the Twitch history if I was to go back on my computer and log into Twitch. So luckily I just remember, okay, so in those cases, I'll pay attention to where I left off. So I have like a text document on my computer that specifically, it links to the videos I haven't watched yet. So I remember like, okay, because I hate browsing VODs on Twitch. It can be kind of annoying, especially because you can't make a playlist.
Mm-hmm.
But if I end one, like I have the timestamp from the URL, like, oh, this video, the one from January 7th, I ended at an hour, 39 minutes, and 34 seconds. That way I know if this happens when I start it on my PS4 and an ad pops up and screws me, I know how far I have to fast forward. But at least Twitch has like that 2000 times speed or whatever. So even though it's a 4-hour VOD, I can skip through it pretty freaking fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why you just won't let me do it like in YouTube where I can just hold the button and go over even quicker, but whatever. But yeah, this I feel like the apps, they just got to update slightly. I also wish all the media apps would freaking update to be 4K, because Netflix is 4K. Vudu is not. And it's like they did that thing, Movies Anywhere, when Vudu kind of went away. And Movies Anywhere is great because it combines your iTunes library, not all your stuff, but like studio-approved videos from your iTunes library, and your Vudu, and I think like a couple other, you know, digital movie services, Sony's, and some other ones. So it's like you go on there, and it syncs them across the board. So if I go on, you know, Vudu, it's like, oh, here's this, plus your iTunes stuff. It kind of puts them together. It just, it links all the services. I don't think it does it on iTunes on your PC or your, you know, Mac or whatever. But if you had Apple TV, then I believe that's where it would work. It's like I can't, on iTunes, I can't see my specific Vudu videos like Wonder Woman. I can't. They did. So they did sync up. Okay, never mind. But that's really nice. But I have my digital version of Wonder Woman is the 4K version. But I can't watch that in 4K within the PS4 app. If I want to, I have to do it through the TV app, because then that one's updated to 4K. It's like, I don't know why Netflix is the only one that updated their freaking media app to be 4K. I'm like, what?
So you can still watch your 4K movie. It just doesn't play in 4K.
No, by default, you get the 1080p version.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm still in 1080p, so I'm maybe a bad person to ask. I haven't updated my TV or monitors or anything.
No, I mean, that's fine, because you have a TV that's in 1080p. But yeah. It's like how when you watch standard def on a 1080p, like you can tell, like, oh, this is a 480p standard def. You can kind of get that on 4K because you have way more, you know, you have a much higher resolution. To where if you watch 1080p, it still looks good, but you can tell, like, what you're watching, especially if you've seen 4K content, you know it's not 1080p. Typically, in dark scenes, in non-HDR content, you can tell. It still looks good, you know, if you, like I said, I don't know if there's any sort of upscaling, because if there is, I would have turned it off on the TV, because it would have caused issues, like lag issues, at least, especially on content. But like, it still looks good, because, well, I have an OLED TV, so OLED looks great anyways. But I can tell when I'm, if it's 4K or it's not 4K once you've watched enough. It's just, it's really annoying that it's like I have to watch it on TV, which isn't necessarily a problem. It's just that my headphones are only hooked up to my PS4, and that's why I watch on my TV. I have to use the TV speakers or the TV soundbar. I used to, back in the day, have a optical cable switcher where it was like a Witcher. No, it would plug in not only my PS3, but also my other PS3, because I had two, because I'd play FF. I was playing FF14 on one PS3 and something else on the other one while I was just, you know, talking to the Link Shell or whatever, a free company. I did the same with, like, you know, FF11. I had FF11 on my PS2 while I was doing stuff on my other PS2. But I had, like, multiple optical cables plugged in, and I could just switch between it, and it would all output to my TV, and then also to my headset that I was using. So it's like, okay, if I want this system to be the primary audio, I just flip it over. So I need one of those again. But yeah, I'm surprised these apps didn't get updated, because the YouTube app, I believe, updated to 4K. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any way to actually check it, because like with Netflix, you can hit the triangle or options or whatever, and it tells you your bitrate and your resolution. Also, if you have, you know, well, by default, the app launches in HDR, but yeah, it's. I don't know. Just kind of annoying that they didn't update. I wonder if it's like some kind of. See, I don't know. Because it's just. It's.
Yeah, like, why would Netflix be the only app that upgrades to 4K? Like, what's the wall that they like were? I guess.
I mean, I really don't think it's anything else. It's have you seen the UIs and the designs of some of the other like streaming apps? They're garbage. I really think it's just laziness of not wanting to devote the time to it.
But they do it for the TVs. That's what throws me off. It's not like, because even on like any 4K TV, all the media apps within them will have 4K support. Vudu, Hulu, Netflix, obviously. And then some other ones. Let's see, Amazon Prime. I think they have 4K content on Amazon. Because like if I go to my home here, yeah, Disney Plus, I think they have 4K content. I don't know. But like there's a lot of stuff on there. These versions have the 4K. So it's not like it's just LG, because Sony has 4K TVs and it's on there. So I'm curious like if it's some kind of agreement like, hey, we'll do this, but only for our TVs, so we push the TV. But I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully with PS5. I'm just glad PlayStation 5 is going to have, you know, 4K Blu-ray support for movies. Because having to get a dedicated 4K player was kind of obnoxious. I mean, I got it essentially for free, but it's like, I don't want to have to keep switching back and forth, you know, but I've also run into issues with Blu-rays in general where, like, I don't know if it's just, I haven't had it before, but I've had it recently where, like, I was watching Terminator 2, and I think I had it happen with something else, I forget what it was, but, like, at the end of the movie, it would start to, like, skip, you know what I mean, where, like, it pauses, and it goes, okay, we can't read this part of the scenes, so then it just jumps, like, 10 seconds.
Oh.
And
I've never had that.
Yeah, it's like back in the day with DVDs where, like, if there was a scratch on your DVD, and it's like, okay, there's a scratch or it's dirty, you gotta clean it. But it's a Blu-ray, and it's like, in PS3, never had a problem, and obviously unless your Blu-ray drive dies on your PS3, then you got a problem. But it's like, it was driving me crazy. I'm like, why is it giving me this buffer? So luckily, I had the digital edition, so I just watched the digital version. But I was like, I wanted the higher bitrate on the Blu-ray, that's why I watched the Blu-ray version. But I haven't had it happen on everything. But I've noticed it typically on content that's older. So I don't know if it's just cheaper manufacturing. Like, a lot of times you get Blu-rays to say, like, made in Mexico. I'm like, I don't know why that matters, but okay. So I don't know if it's, like, maybe it's just some weird, you got a bad manufacturing run, because there's no scratches on the disc. Like, I'd be curious, like, if in these instances I'm just getting a faulty version. Because it happened once before, but I can't remember what movie it was. I wish I could remember. But I have so much digital content, because every Blu-ray you buy, essentially, at least if it's new, comes with a digital copy. And every 4K version comes with the 4K, the regular Blu-ray, and a digital copy. So it's like, usually if I want to watch them in just regular, if the digital copy isn't already 4K itself, it's like, no, I'll just watch it, because typically it's on my computer while I play a game, so I don't really care. Unless I want to actually sit down and focus on the media itself. But, and there was one, it was like, oh, the John Wick 3 one was the worst, because it was like, typically to redeem, it's like, oh, go to digitalmovie.com/redeem. And, you know, choose, what do you want? Do you want iTunes? Do you want Vudu? Do you want Movies Anywhere? You know, this and that. This was like, I had to download some dumb Lionsgate app that's clearly just some app to mine your data and target you with emails. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got like 1 star on the App Store, but there's no other way to redeem the content, because there's no physical code on the, you know, the card itself that comes in the Blu-ray. You just have to scan a QR.
That's damn.
Yeah, everybody's like, this is BS. Like, obviously, it's by Lionsgate. So it's like, they're just, so I download it, scan it, delete it, get it. And it's like, oh, now you can go ahead and get it. But what's interesting in that case, it was the first time I've seen that you can redeem a digital version of a movie from PlayStation. Like, I've never seen that before. Like, typically it's always Vudu, Amazon, iTunes, this and that. But it's the first time I've seen the PlayStation symbol, like, oh, I can redeem on the PlayStation Store. That's interesting. I just added it to iTunes because everything I have is on iTunes. If I have that option. I mean, that's the only reason I have Vudu is because they didn't have an iTunes version. But yes, that was kind of obnoxious. But I don't know. Hopefully they sort that media stuff out next gen. Because, yeah, it needs to be updated.
It's more like, it's kind of standard now, but it wasn't when this gen came out. So now that it's going to be the new standard, maybe?
Yeah, I guess, but you figure, I mean, the TVs came out before the consoles did. Like, the 4K standard anyways. So you'd think, I don't know, it's still weird that they're updated on the TV unless they, like, paid more kind of thing. Like, I don't know, like, hey, or some, like I said, it has to be some kind of deal on the back end.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but, hey, we want to show off 4K content. I mean, because it's not even like you have to have 4K content. It's not like everything on Netflix is in 4K. All the originals are, but not like all the movies that are on there are in 4K. Or HDR, for that matter. But so it's not like everything on Hulu is going to be that way. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was that news that the Uncharted movie lost a director.
Ooh, I saw that, yeah.
I don't understand why that movie is still happening.
Yeah, and then
has potential to be really good, but it seems like it
though. It's been so long.
Yeah, that's why it seems like it's not gonna.
Just Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
I mean the Tomb Raider movie. I like the Tomb Raider movie because it was essentially just like the reboot game, minus some tweaks, some that I liked for the better. But the only thing I don't like about the movie is the reliance on the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they could do more of it practical, I mean, that's really what kind of ruins it when it comes to those types of movies in general, not even video game movies. It's just bad effects.
Yeah.
But, and then, of course, there's, like, some cheesy moments. But it's like, you're going to get that. But it wasn't, like, a terrible movie. Like, I liked the Tomb Raider film. I thought it was good. But, and I feel like, you know, Uncharted could be the same, just a Indiana Jones, a young Indiana Jones kind of thing. Because it could just get
out of production hell.
Yeah. We'll see. And then, of course, and then I also saw the Doctor Strange director, the Doctor Strange 2 director backed out due to creative differences.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was really shocking, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one surprised me because...
Yeah.
It's Disney. Like,
that happens a lot with Disney, I feel like. More so than... Like, almost more than Uncharted.
Like, yeah, because now not only are you, like, you go into it making a Marvel movie, but now you're tied to, like, Disney and their demands, too.
Yeah.
So I imagine there's going to be a lot of that from now on.
Yeah, you had it with the first Ant-Man. You had it with the Solo movie. You had it with the Episode 9, mm-hmm. where Dan Trachtenberg, I think it's his last name, was going to do it. He didn't. And then you have it with this. And then I'm trying to think if there's another Marvel movie in it. But I feel like it seems to be pretty common with Disney. Now, that could just be that side, because we didn't talk about this on the podcast. It's not game-related. But how I felt like this arc of Star Wars, you know, it didn't have a through line. Like how they have, like, Kevin Feige, you know, this is what we're going to do. These are the big beats we have to hit. Like, they have a plan. They're like, you know, it's Red Dead Redemption. You know, I got a plan. We just need one more job and a little more money. Going to Tahiti. Whereas, like, this is like, you know, go do your own thing, which is fine. But I feel like you have to have some sort of skeleton and then let the freedom go.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of cohesiveness to actually tie everything together.
Right, because then you have things that someone introduce in one movie that they're like, oh, just forget about that.
Uh-huh. I'm just not going to use this. I don't like that.
And then I was like, so, you know, spoilers for Episode 9. It's like right in the beginning of the movie anyways. But when they talk about, like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy's, I was manipulating this guy the whole time. And you see, like, Vats, like, clone versions of this person. And then there's a comic book that just came out that kind of retcons that. And I'm like, Like, you have this official stuff that comes out, and but because the comics people don't talk to the movies people, but now it's like, oh, that person's not a clone. They're actually a person. I'm like, what is going on? But yeah, it's just, you need that guidance. I don't know. But then I'm really curious, like, what would these movies be like if they had their original directors? Like, but
if they had an editor.
Yeah, I guess, like, I'm always curious, like, what did they want? Like, there was an article I saw, I didn't get to read the whole thing, but how Lucas or Disney didn't want the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order to have lightsabers in Jedi.
Why?
Originally. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, let's move. If you look at Amy Hennig's game, wasn't going to have that. It was going to be more of like a ragtag group of people. And if you look at, neither did Solo. I think they kind of wanted, maybe it's like a, you know, Vin Diesel biceps kind of thing, like lightsabers only for numbered movies, you know. But yeah, it's like, it's
Vin Diesel's,
it was interesting,
biceps that, are only for numbered movies. Like, what?
You don't remember that Vin Diesel thing?
No.
It's like he only brought out his biceps for Vin Diesel movies.
Seriously?
Yeah, that was like a thing way back.
That's like in his contract or something.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, so that's why I related to the lightsabers. Like, well, this isn't a numbered Star Wars, so you can't have lightsabers.
Well, but then they want to, like, keep the Jedi story to the main, like, the movies and stuff, and then all of the other, like, games and comics were going to be about, you know, the rest of the universe. All of, like, the smugglers and the resistance people and stuff like that. Wasn't that, like, why he wanted that or whatever?
I suppose, yeah, I guess, like, yeah, like, so here's, I found the article we're looking. So this is with a, so IGN Unfiltered, which is run by Ryan McCaffrey, great series that they do. They put up on the, I think it's on, they have an Unfiltered podcast feed. You can check it out. They've done some great stuff, great interviews with people. But he did one with Stig Asmussen, which of course is the director for the Jedi Fallen Order. And he was saying how, you know, he was talking when he first met with Lucasfilm, he said, you know, we want to make a game with Jedi and lightsabers and force powers. And he's like, and I can feel that the room kind of gasped for a moment. That's when I realized Jedi are really big. I mean, of course they're really big, but it's a really big deal. It's like the Holy Grail here. And he's like, let's see what else he said. He said there was a little bit of people eyeballing each other, and somebody, I don't remember who, on Lucasfilm side said, what about making a game with blasters, something more like a shooter? They didn't mention any games in particular, and I said, you know, part of my background is Melee, and the team that we built is Melee Action. I think you wouldn't be really happy with the results of what we'd make for that, because I'm not super comfortable with doing that. But, you know, lightsabers. and that's so it sounds like, you know, they want to go a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That was far from the end of the discussion. As Musen said, quote, they talked a little bit more about it, and we went back and forth, and they said, here's the deal. We can do something with lightsabers and force powers, but we can't talk about Jedi. We've got to refer to them as force users. And as Musen said, he shrugged and went, as long as we've got lightsabers and force powers, I'm cool. So he goes, and then that's the day that I learned every step of the way we have to earn it. We can't just come in and say, this is the game that we're making. It's got to be a conversation. It's got to be a collaboration. And we have to earn the respect. And that works both ways. But here we are years later, and the name of the game is Jedi Fallen Order. So, yeah, it is interesting because they call them Force users within the game as well. They don't call them Jedi. So I think they mentioned the Jedi maybe once. One character does, but where they reference like the Clone Wars. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, why don't you make a shooter? Yeah, because, you know, Battlefront 2 really worked out well for you.
Right. It's like, oh, no, they already tried that. I don't know if you're aware.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, interesting stuff. I mean, you figure it's got to be pretty, you know, especially for that kind of license, they're going to be like, well, why not this? And you kind of got to pitch it and convince them that, hey, you know, we're more capable of doing this and not so much that, but
mm-hmm.
I went so far in the podcast that now the outro music is playing over me talking right now. So I guess it's telling me like, yo, you've gone long enough. The outro music is playing. It's like when you had an award show and you're doing your acceptance speech for way too long.
It's like the band starts up.
You're talking about Star Wars and Marvel and Disney. It's not games. So we talked about Jedi Fallen Order.
It's like, no, it's relevant.
Keep a game related. But yeah. So I guess I might as well just wrap it up. Get it going. Like I said, there wasn't much else, and I don't want to keep whining about the media apps on PlayStation.
Fix your shit, Sony. TLDR.
Or just these companies, Hulu. Just, I don't know. Talk it out. But we'll see. But yeah, anyways, thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
See you.
Bye.